Before we dive into the episode, I just wanted to let you know about my A to Z encyclopedia in case you don't have it or in case you're new here. If you find yourself constantly obsessing over anxiety symptoms, you constantly think that you're dying, you're constantly worrying about your health, you're always on Google, you're desperately seeking reassurance every single day, then I wrote this book for you. I used to live on Google, and as I'm sure you know, it never ends well and it only intensifies our fear and causes us to spiral. So, some things to know about this book. It's a book that you will refer to daily if you suffer with severe health anxiety and constant physical symptoms. It includes every symptom you can think of, but it also includes calming methods, coping skills, underlying triggers, nutrition and supplement recommendations, and everything in between in regards to anxiety, even little pep talks on especially hard days. As an ebook, it means that you can start reading immediately, right away, as soon as you place your order. I honestly poured my heart into this book, and I wish that something like this had been available during my worst days. And that is exactly why I wrote it for you, because you may very well be exactly where I used to be. So I hope that this book helps you. You can find it at anxietyatoz.com, or you can also find the link in my caption. Hi, and welcome to a new episode. I am very tempted to do my usual rambly intro. I feel like I have some things that I want to talk about, but I also kind of want to just jump into the episode. So this episode, if you would have seen the title already, it's going to be all about ALS fears and muscle twitching and muscle spasms and just degenerative muscle fears or disease fears in general. This is what started my health anxiety journey. Like, this is what really set it off for me when I was a teenager. So this is a story I always like to share, and these are symptoms I always like to talk about because I know that so many of you guys deal with this. And whenever I hear one of you guys' stories or I read one of your messages about this, it always takes me right back to when I first discovered my very first muscle twitch and just the complete and awful spiral from there. So we're going to talk all about that in this episode. I did do a blog post on this a little while back. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to match up the blogs that I have with, I'm trying to pair them up with podcast episodes too, so that you have the option of either reading it or listening to it. So I've just been kind of going through my blogs, and I know that ALS fears and muscle twitching are really big symptoms in our community, and I've done posts on Insta, I've done videos on this. Like I said, I have that in-depth blog post, so now I just would like to talk about it with you guys. So I'm going to do my best to not make this a rambly intro. So it is just after 6 p.m. and the sun has not fully set yet, which makes me extremely happy because I've realized that I am just not a winter person at all. I always look forward to fall. I find it so cozy. And then winter comes and I'm like, why was I excited for the weather to turn cooler? Because the days are so short. I mean, like, right in the middle of winter, it's getting dark by 4 p.m. And if you sleep in the morning, or if you wake up and it's gloomy outside, and December and January were literally cloudy every single day. I realize I'm talking about the weather, but just bear with me. I think I saw on my weather app, we had like 2 days of sun in December and like 3 days in January, or maybe it was the other way around. But the weather plays, like, it has such an impact on my mood. And when it feels like you're living in just constant, perpetual darkness, it's really not fun. And I don't want to complain, but seriously though, like, the weather has a very big impact on your mental health. So I am really, really grateful that it's not even fully dark yet and it's almost 6:30 p.m. That makes me very happy and it makes me excited for spring. I feel like winter has kind of flown by, and I don't want to talk too soon because sometimes we have snow right up into April. So I don't want to talk too soon. But honestly, just seeing some sunshine and just having the days feel so much longer already makes such a difference. It really does. So if there's no sun where you are, I'm sending some sun and light your way. In Canada, it's a public holiday today, and I had no idea it was a holiday. Usually my mom like lets me know when all the holidays are, but I haven't spoken to her. I think we spoke last on Saturday, so I had no idea that it was a holiday. So I went out today to a health store that's not too far away from me. I honestly needed to get like one thing. And so the door of this health store, it always sticks, and they always tell you like you really have to push on it to open it. So sometimes I can be completely in my own world, and I'm just not really focusing on my surroundings, which really isn't good. But I went there, and if I had been paying attention, I would have noticed that the lights were not on inside and that there were way more people out than usual, like families going out, and it felt like a weekend, but I just ignored it and just figured it's a normal Monday. So I go to the health store and I just figured the door is stuck because you really have to push it to open it. So I'm like, and there's people walking by on the sidewalk, and I'm just like putting all my weight into this door, like to try to open it. And then it hits me like, actually, you know what? This door feels like it's locked. And then I saw a sign saying that it's a holiday and that they'll be open tomorrow. And I was like trying to casually back up and walk away anyway. I always tend to embarrass myself and put myself in funny situations. But I ended up getting some fresh air, going for a walk. I grabbed a hot chocolate on my way home because I seem to be addicted. And I just felt like recording a podcast episode. I don't think I recorded one last week. You guys know I've been trying to be consistent. But you know what? If I skip a week here and there, it is okay. As long as I'm back, here I am, and just let this be a reminder for you as well to not put unnecessary pressure on yourself. Do what you can and give yourself credit for the things that you do do. I think we're just so focused on what we haven't done or what we're not doing that we tend to overlook what we are doing and the progress we're making. So just let that be a reminder for you because I often need that reminder myself. I want to do another episode this week. I'm not promising, but this is what I have planned. And according to how I'm feeling and based on my mood, I really do want to sit down and do another episode. I asked you guys on my stories on Instagram yesterday, I believe. I just gave you kind of like a little space to share anything that you're struggling with, and I got so many more responses than I had expected. And I shared some of my story, but I screenshotted the rest, and I wanted to do an episode just talking about it. There were a lot of questions and just things that you shared with me about health anxiety. So I really wanted to do an episode just kind of digging deeper into some of those responses and answering some of your questions. But I thought before I do that, I really want to get back into the symptoms episodes. And I thought, let's start with muscle twitching. I can't believe that we don't have an episode on that. I really thought that I would have. And as I'm saying that, I'm like, what if I do? But I don't think so. And if we do, it's probably way back. But I don't think that I have ever recorded an episode on that. I think I've spoken about it in a health anxiety episode and in maybe in an episode where I spoke about multiple symptoms, but I don't think we have an episode just dedicated to muscle twitching. So this is the episode for that. I'm gonna stop rambling. I feel like I could ramble on forever, and I actually do want to do. I really would like to do an episode just talking about more personal things. Anyway, I'm not gonna get into that right now. That is for another day, and I can just feel that if I start talking about anything else, I'm just gonna go off on a tangent there. So let's dive into this episode. So I've told this story many, many times. If you have my first book, I honestly think I've spoken about the story in all three of my books. And then I've definitely mentioned it in the blog post as well. I've mentioned this story so many times, and if you have been with me for a while, if you've been part of our community for a long time, then you're bored of hearing it. Although I feel like when we're struggling with a symptom or we're really scared about something, like say you're dealing with muscle twitching and the ALS fears are really, really big for you, I find that, and this is me talking from my own experience when I used to deal with constant symptoms, I was okay with reading someone's story every single day. I'll get into that later in the episode when I did end up finding a guy who had been talking about his experience, and I literally screenshotted it and read it every single day because it gave me that comfort that I was needing at the time. So, if you're new here, this will be a new story for you. And if you're not, then you're just like, I know it's coming, but I mean, obviously, I want to start here just so you know where it all began for me. So when I was about 17, I grew up in South Africa. I grew up in Cape Town, South Africa, which is absolutely beautiful. It's so gorgeous. And I often think about it and I miss home because I still consider it my home, which is so funny because I've been living in Canada for a very long time now. I've actually been living here longer than I lived there, so that's pretty crazy. You see, here I go. Like, I don't know how to just like stick to the topic, but anyway, I lived in a place called Durban until I was 9, and then moved to Cape Town when I was 9 until I was 19. And then when I was 19, we moved here, and I'm now 35. So I've been here longer than I lived in Cape Town, but Cape Town is just, it's got such a special place in my heart. It's so beautiful. I have so many beautiful memories there. I really need to go back to visit. I've even thought about sometimes just wanting to live there again. There's a lot of crime and it's very different. It's very different to here. People are so casual here and leave their doors unlocked and go walking down the street. And I mean, that is something that I do like. I like that feeling of safety here. There it is very different. I feel like I was always on guard, always just, like kind of looking over my shoulder. But I mean, honestly, it's a really, really beautiful place. Everybody is very friendly and happy because the weather is gorgeous all the time. Anyway, so back to the story. I was in Cape Town at the time. I was 17, and my mom and I were having lunch together one day. We had ordered a takeout, and while we were eating, I noticed my finger just kind of started moving on its own. As I say takeout, I think to myself, like, in South Africa, words are very different. So there we don't say takeout, you say takeaway. Does anyone say that here? Like, I should know this by now. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say takeaway. But that's what we say there. We say takeaway. We don't say takeout. And I've gotten so used to, like, I just say that now, but sometimes I'll slip up and I'll just still say things the way that I used to say it there, but I've learned not to because people often don't understand me. And we don't say fries. Like, we call fries chips. So when we just got here, I was studying at like a beauty college, and I went with one of my friends to go grab I think we got like a burger and fries for lunch, but I was like, I'll have like a burger and chips, please. And she was like, oh, you're gonna have a burger with like a bag of chips? And I was like, no, like, and I pointed to her fries. I'm like, that's what I want. She's like, no, you have to ask for fries to get that. It was just funny. I learned so much. Like, when we just got here, there were so many words that I would say, and people would just look at me so confused. Anyway, sometimes I'll still say words and I'll think to myself, I never said that growing up. It's so funny how it's just natural for me to say it now. So anyway, we were having lunch and my fingers started to twitch. And I'd never experienced this before. Like, it was just, I think it was my middle finger. It was just like moving. And I still showed it to my mom, and I was like, why is my finger doing that? And please keep in mind that I knew nothing about anxiety. I knew nothing about the symptoms. I did not know anything. Like, this is somebody who knew absolutely nothing. So I had this twitch starting, and I didn't like not feeling in control. I didn't like that feeling. So immediately it was this thing that felt kind of scary for me, and I saw it as like my brain kind of interpreted it as, like danger. Like, what is that? Like, that's different. And my mom just kind of said, no, she doesn't think it's anything, it's okay. And then I had a twitch in my wrist as well. So my wrist was twitching, and my finger, like, it was like I had no control over my hand. And because it was causing me to feel, it was making me feel uncomfortable, and I was feeling this kind of feeling in my stomach that I guess we can interpret as fear. Like, I just felt unsettled. I guess that's a good word to use. Like, I just didn't like it. I was like, what is that? Why is it doing that? Like, I want to know what the explanation is, right? And when we don't know why something is happening, that causes fear, and then fear obviously feeds the sensation or the symptoms. So I was trying to enjoy my lunch, but my mind just could not stop focusing on this, and it was hard to not focus on it because it was a very obvious jump. Like, I was like holding my food, and my finger would not stop moving. So as much as I was trying to distract myself, it's hard to distract yourself when something is so real and such a physical thing right in front of your face, right? So I finished my lunch, and then I couldn't relax because I'm the type of person that I need to have an explanation for something. I don't like not understanding something or not understanding why something is happening. So now, please keep in mind that I'm old. No, not really, but I mean, like, keep in mind that this was a while back, and it wasn't like today where we just hop on Google with everything and whatever. Like, my mom, I would not go on the internet a lot. And my mom had this, she had like this really huge medical book. I don't actually know why she had that. I know, like, growing up, my mom had told me that there had been a time in her life where she had considered being a doctor, but then because she considered herself a hypochondriac, and at the time we would say hypochondria, we weren't saying health anxiety at the time, she told me that she just didn't think it would have been good for her. So maybe she had it because of that. I actually need to ask her, and probably should have asked her before sitting down, but she had this medical book. My mom just liked to know about the human body, and she liked to understand things herself. But she would drive herself crazy looking up symptoms. So she had this book. Let's get back to that. And it's so funny because I used to look through this book like casually and like be interested in the pictures and stuff. And like now, like thinking back, like once my health anxiety started, that book was a nightmare for me. I went to this book because I thought maybe this book will tell me something, right? And I looked up, like, I can't, like, twitching, I guess. I don't know what exact word, but it must have been twitching. Like, I was trying to just look up like muscle things. And I mean, I was feeling anxious. Like, my anxiety was building at this point because this book had some horrifying things in it, and I was like, what? My brain at this point was just doing its own thing. Like, my thoughts were just going, and I was like, what if this is something really serious? Like, what if it is? Like, this started to hit me, right? Like, what if I look this up and it's something really bad? Am I ready for that? So I found the page that it was referring to, and twitching was listed under something called, well, under a disease called motor neuron disease, which is another term for ALS. And I immediately just felt this complete, like, my stomach just dropped, and I felt just dread. And you know when you see something absolutely horrifying and it feels like your stomach just leaves you and you start to sweat and your heart races? I felt all of that. Like I was just like fear took over at this point because I knew exactly what motor neurone disease was. There was a cricket player in South Africa who actually got motor neurone disease. And I knew about it because my mom would always keep up with the news and always tell me the news stories, even if I was trying so hard to just not listen. And there was a magazine that she would get weekly, and this magazine would tell you like all the latest stories and all the news things. And in this magazine, there was this guy's story, and he had just been diagnosed. And I remember reading it. Because back then I wasn't, like I tell you guys now, don't Google, don't look things up, and don't end up in that spiral. But back then, like I said, I didn't know anything about anxiety, so I would be reading everything. And this story scared me so much. This is another thing that I always talk about when it comes to health anxiety, is that we'll see a really terrible story about someone who's sick or has a disease, and we want to, and we do, we feel so much empathy and sadness for them, but then we almost feel guilty because we're immediately thinking about how it could be affecting us in terms of like, do we have that same thing? Like I would always feel so guilty. I'd think to myself, like, am I a bad person? Because instead of me just sitting and reading the story and feeling genuinely bad for this person, which I did, my brain was also going, oh, you have that symptom too. What if you have this? And it's an absolutely awful spiral. I say this a million times, but you really don't understand health anxiety unless you have experienced it for yourself. I get so frustrated when I see people trying to give advice. You can always tell when someone hasn't gone through something. You can always tell when somebody hasn't experienced health anxiety with the type of advice that they're giving or the way that they talk about it. And I've seen people giving health anxiety advice, and well, I've seen comments on posts where you can tell that this person has never struggled with it, with the things that they're saying, and it drives me crazy. So I just wanted to like insert that here. Don't let anyone make you feel bad. For struggling, don't take advice or don't feel guilty or like a burden just because someone is making you feel that way. Someone who has no freaking clue what it feels like. So this is where things started to spiral for me, and I would say that this was really the start of my health anxiety, my lovely health anxiety journey. Because I had experienced a symptom that made me really uneasy. It had that feeling in my stomach, which I was now starting to take as a sign, like, oh, you have this bad feeling, so that's kind of confirmation, right? Because that's what we do. We take that feeling as confirmation that, oh, this has to be serious. And then right after I'm experiencing the symptom, I had seen that story. I don't think I've spoken about this before. And so every week they were doing updates like with this guy's condition, and it was so heartbreaking and so sad. And I would read it and feel so awful and like sorry for him and for his family, all while also feeling this terrible, terrible fear just taking over me. So I pretty much just lived in this horrible place for a while. They see, this is where things kind of are hazy for me. Like, I don't believe I went to the doctor, or if I did mention it, I think it was just kind of like we didn't look into it. It was just like, oh, that's common or whatever. But I don't remember. I feel like I did not go to the doctor for it. My mom had said she thinks it's okay, and I would have been too scared. I would go through these phases where I would either experience something and immediately want to go to the doctor that day to try to get reassurance, And other times I would experience something and just not want to go to the doctor because I was so scared of what he was going to say. It honestly depended. It wasn't just one way for me, like it would change. And one example is maybe a year later when I found this little lump in my neck. And oh my God, the panic that I experienced when I felt it. You know how you'll just like be fidgeting and like, I don't know, massaging your neck, or you know how we just fidget, right? I was obviously just doing that, and I came across this little ball in my neck, and I was like, what? It's that feeling again, like that immediate stomach dropping sensation where your stomach just like bottoms out, right? And it's like for a few moments, your mind is just blank and it's just filled with fear. It's like your whole body is just consumed in this feeling. And this feeling is so horrifying. You wish you could just disconnect from it. And you just don't think logically in that time. So when that fear is taking over, your brain is just desperate for reassurance. So that's often when we'll Google or immediately go to the ER or even call 911. Like we're not thinking logically when the fear comes up. So when I felt this little ball in my neck, I was not interested in looking it up. I just wanted to go to the doctor and I wanted to be told that it was okay, which was a different reaction to the muscle twitching. And I remember going to the doctor. This is a whole different episode that I will do about lymph nodes, because I know a lot of you guys struggle with that and I've had a lot of requests to talk more about that. But I remember going to the doctor. I was sitting in the waiting room feeling absolutely sick. Lymph node fears are still with me today. That's something that still comes up for me today when I am going through a health anxiety episode. That's not to say that every time I have a health anxiety flare it's about lymph nodes, but it is something that does come up for me now still. Like for example, when I still get muscle twitching now, it doesn't bother me at all, which is crazy because I honestly never thought I would be at that place. It doesn't bother me. And then because I'm not so focused on it and I'm not like feeling all that fear, because fear feeds everything and intensifies everything and then keeps us stuck in that cycle, right? So because I'm not feeling that fear that I felt before, if I do experience muscle twitching, it tends to just disappear pretty quickly. It's like kind of like trying to get my attention, like here we are, and then I'm not paying it any attention, and then it's like it gets bored kind of and just disappears. Whereas I do still get anxious sometimes about lymph nodes, I'm not going to lie. So I remember this day clearly. I was sitting in the waiting room and they called me and I was like walking with jelly legs. My vision was blurry. Like it felt like everything was just really hazy around me. I felt like I was going to pass out. I felt like I couldn't breathe properly, and it ended up being okay. And he was amazing the way he explained lymph nodes to me. And I'm not going to get into that now. Let me know if you want me to do an episode on that, and then I will do one soon. But he explained it and really helped to reassure me and calm me down. But with the muscle twitching, I don't know why I didn't go to the doctor. I think I did later on, but initially I did not go. It's like I was just desperate to ignore it, but I wasn't ignoring it though, because I was thinking about it all the time, and it didn't go away. So that's the thing, right? So it's not like I had the muscle twitch that day and then it was just done. It was on and off, on and off, on and off. And then I will say that the more I focus on it, the more the muscle twitching hung around. Just like I mentioned earlier, usually when we are giving something a lot of attention, it tends to stick around and it tends to become more intense. Like our brains are so powerful that if you just sit quietly with yourself and close your eyes and put all of your attention on just one area of your body, like you imagine just a light or something like just shining on that one part of your body, you almost definitely are going to feel some sensation there just from just from thinking, just from your thoughts. So it makes sense that when we have a symptom or we're dealing with a sensation, that the more attention that we put there, the more intense it's going to become. So while I definitely wouldn't say that I was getting comfortable with the muscle twitching, I was kind of, I wouldn't even say accepting it, but I was kind of getting used to it. I don't know how to explain it. I was like so used to this twitching by now. And I remember paying really close attention to if I was able to still use my muscles, because I was so paranoid that I was going to experience muscle weakness, which I actually did, again, because I was so focused on it. But I was studying for exams at the time. And when I studied for exams, it was helpful for me to, I would walk around. Like, I need to pace a lot and I need to move. I can't sit still. Like, that's one thing with me, is I do not, like, it's really hard for me to sit still. Like, even when I'm sitting still, I'm fidgeting and I'm moving. I'm a very restless person just by nature. So when I'm studying and I'm trying to retain information, it was really helpful for me to, like, kind of pace and walk around with my books, and I would always have to talk out loud. And while I was doing this, because I was dealing with the muscle twitching at the time, I remember, like, pacing up and down around, like, my mom's dining room table, and she had these, what do you even call them? It was like these candle holders, I guess, but it was like in this glass. I can't remember. It was like a lamp thing with a candle in it, but I wouldn't say it was heavy, but I mean, it had some bulk to it. And I remember just telling myself that if I could pick it up with one hand, then that, like, proves that I haven't lost any muscle strength. So, like, I must have looked like a crazy person if I could look back on this. I would be home by myself, walking around this table, reciting, like, my work, trying to learn it, and constantly taking breaks to pick up this lamp thing with just one hand, like, lift it up a few times, like I'm doing a workout, and, like, doing a few reps, and then put it back down, and then I'd have to do it again. And I drove myself freaking nuts, honestly. But that is health anxiety. Like, we have to constantly try to prove to ourselves that we're okay, and we seek reassurance in any way that we can. So just as I was coming to terms, I guess you could say, with this freaking twitch in my wrist, it was very frequent. It was very frequent. I would say it was a daily thing, and it would stop for a little bit, and then it's like I couldn't even enjoy the times in between when it would stop twitching, because I would have that anticipation in my gut, like that feeling of just, I was expecting it to come back. And usually when we expect a symptom to come back, it does. We're just sitting, like, we just know it's going to happen, and then it does, right? So I was just in the state of anticipation. I was like, it's going to come back. And then it would come back, and I would act as if, you know, like, I can't believe it's back, even though I was anticipating it the whole time. So I never really felt at ease. I was just so fixated on this wrist twitch. And I told myself it's fine because I can still pick things up. And I remember one day I was studying out of, like, a really heavy book, and it felt like it was hard to hold the book. And then I started to think, well, here we go. Now it's the muscle weakness part. And it was really hard to study for exams at this time because I was just stuck in what I now can look back on and say it was a severe health anxiety episode. It was all I thought about. It completely consumed everything. Like, it's all I thought about. It seeps into every area of your life. Like, I, even sitting down to have a meal, I wouldn't enjoy any meal because I was feeling sick all the time. Like, I was feeling sick with fear all the time. So just sitting down to eat was hard for me to do because my stomach was just always in a knot. So, yeah, like, again, you really don't realize the impact that health anxiety has unless you go through it. It's not just, oh, a little bit of fear about something. You know, when you tell somebody about something you're worrying about and they're like, oh yeah, like, I had that, it's okay, or like, what? And you can just tell that they don't actually understand. I know how first frustrating that can be, so I just want to validate that here for you right now and just let you know that I understand. Like, I get it. And you're not dramatic for just, that's all I'm gonna say. You're not dramatic. Don't let anyone make you feel like you're dramatic. So just as I'm like kind of coming to terms, I was not coming to terms, but I think in some part of my brain, I'd accepted that, okay, I have this muscle twitch. There's nothing I can do about it right now. So it just became like a part of my life. But then just as I am, I mean, I don't want to say this, but like kind of accepting it, I guess, I then started to get twitching in other parts of my body. I remember one day, suddenly, like, the muscle in my thigh started to twitch, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. I remember just sitting there, and I was like, are you joking? Like, is this actually happening? And my first thought was, it's spreading. I do have that disease. It's now moving into other muscles. And like, it was just a nightmare. It was just an absolute nightmare. And then my arms started to twitch. And then my shoulders started to twitch like constantly. And I'm pretty sure that I had read like in that damn book. I still remember what that book looked like. I still remember that a section had said that early stages is like shoulder twitching, and I was like, what the F? Like, I couldn't believe it. It's like, you know, when you read something or you see something so horrifying and you try so hard to distance yourself from that because it's just, you can't even imagine having to deal with that or imagine like that happening. And then you experience the symptoms and it's like you can't actually believe that you're in that place of dealing with it. It's shocking, and it's so hard to accept, and it's like fear just took over at this point. I was in a state that I was so upset, and I think I told my mom, and she had said that she had also had muscle twitching before, which kind of brought me some relief. And I think she had mentioned that like exercise can cause it, and I had been walking a lot, so I was like, okay, well, it's in my legs because I've been walking. Like, I was just trying so desperately to just link things up to it that weren't going to be like the verdict of, you know, me actually dying. So I wish I had been journaling at the time that I was dealing with this, so I could give you like a proper timeline. Like, I could tell you like step by step what happened, and because I'm just going based on memory right now, because it's kind of like a blur sometimes when I think back to certain things, because there were so many symptoms at one point that it's just, they all just like kind of mesh together, right? So the twitching was something that just became my reality for a very long time. People always ask me how long I dealt with certain symptoms, and I can honestly say years. Just like with the wrist twitching, I think what happened was, so this is what I think happened. I think that I told myself that I would see how long I deal with the muscle twitching, and that if I don't experience weakness or whatever, if I'm still able to walk or whatever, then I'll just leave it and it's probably okay. And I think like months went by, and then a year went by, and I was still experiencing the twitching on and off, but I was like, okay, I can still walk and I can still pick things up. So it's okay. And I just told my, and that's what I tried to tell myself. I was like, if it was something really bad, then something would have happened by now. But I mean, I'm saying that, but I was still afraid. Like, I was still afraid. Like, my brain would always try to tell me some terrifying story. Like, even if I was logical about it, it would twist it and be like, well, maybe it's just really slow moving. Like, there was just always something. Like, even when I was logical about it, my brain would say, but what if? There's always those damn what ifs. So the muscle twitching was just an on-off thing for me for years. And this is where things got really scary for me. I started to deal with other symptoms. symptoms like dizziness, I would feel like I wasn't talking properly. Like I would hear myself talk and think, it sounds like you're not talking right and like you're slurring, or like, or sometimes I would like not get a word out right and like kind of like stutter or like stumble over my word. And then I would get blurry vision when I was really anxious, and I get headaches. And I started to think to myself, like, I started to piece these symptoms together with the muscle twitching, and I would get jelly legs as well. And this is what really scared me. I remember one day, you know, when you're walking and your leg just like, do you know what I mean? Like, when you're walking, your leg just like does that thing where it like wobbles for a second, and you're like, oh, what was that? I really hope you relate, because this has happened to me a bunch of times. So that happened one day when I was right in the midst of worrying about ALS, and MS too, because of all the other symptoms that were coming in. And I remember that day, I can remember it quite clearly. I was, there were these steps that led down from our kitchen into our living room, just like three steps. And as I stepped onto the second one, my leg did that thing. But then I caught myself, like I didn't fall over or anything. But I remember for the rest of the night, I was just, I could not stop thinking about it. And I remember feeling so frustrated, because I think I had been going through a fairly decent period with my health anxiety, and I'd been feeling somewhat relaxed. You know what I mean? Like, we get to a point where sometimes we're feeling all right. There's still that anticipation. We're just like waiting for something. And then this happened, and I spent the rest of the night just really, like, I felt terrible. And it's really hard. It's really hard when you don't have anyone in your life who seems to be going through the same thing. My mom had always been a hypochondriac, but you know, we would have different things, and she had her own things that she was worrying about. I didn't feel like anyone had my specific fears, and I felt like if I tried to tell anyone, they would think I'm crazy. And I think I did mention it to a friend before. And like, sometimes if you tell a friend or someone who has never experienced anxiety and the symptoms, then sometimes they mean well because they don't understand, right? And they'll think they're being helpful by saying, oh, that sounds really strange. You should go see a doctor. And oh my God, when someone says that, like, you should see a doctor, it's like trigger alert. Like, you just, it's bad. Like, you immediately want reassurance from them, even though they're not a doctor. You want to be like, you really think I should see a doctor? Are you sure? If you've been through health anxiety, you know what I mean. It's like you desperately seek reassurance, even from people who can't actually give it to you. A question I get a lot from people is, can health anxiety, or just anxiety in general, make you feel really low or make you depressed, or even cause depression? And if we sit here and think about it logically, I think we can all agree that it absolutely can. And it makes sense, because we never feel joy. Like, when you're worrying about your health and you have a genuine belief that you have some hidden mysterious illness or that you're dying, I mean, like, how on earth are you supposed to feel good? Like, how are you supposed to feel good? I would try to do the things that would make me happy, like listen to music and sing and get outside. Growing up, I spent so much time outside, not like today where we just glued to our screens. And I would read. Reading has always been an escape for me. But when you're really in a health anxiety spiral, it's very difficult to concentrate on anything. So you're not finding joy from the things that usually give you joy, because your thoughts are just overshadowing everything. The depression that comes with health anxiety can be severe, and I've suffered from depression for, I mean, since I was 15 years old. I can remember just being in my room and feeling really flat and bleak and not understanding why I felt like that, because I was like, there's nothing specific happening in my life, but everything felt very dark. Like, it just felt like everything, like, just lost its color. I guess you could say. Like, nothing felt vibrant to me. Not even the things that I usually loved. Everything just felt flat. But the health anxiety depression, I feel, because I've experienced depression and then I've experienced depression from health anxiety, and I do feel like it's different. So in the sense that I know where the depression is stemming from, but then there's that hopelessness that comes with it because I don't know how to get out of it. So I'm like, okay, so I understand where this depression is coming from, and I know it's from, you know, my health anxiety, but I don't know how to get out of this cycle. I don't know how to stop worrying. And of course, that's what you want to know how to do when you're in it. And my answer to this always is to understand your anxiety. You have to understand that anxiety is not just feeling scared. It is extremely physical, and it causes very real physical symptoms that do mimic very serious things. So understanding anxiety is huge. And there's a site called anxietycenter.com. When I came across this site, it was like someone had taken some weight off of my shoulders, and like I could finally take a breath, because this site lists out every single anxiety symptom, all the ones that I talk about with you guys. And I bookmarked this site, and every single time I was worrying about a symptom, I would go look up and read about it. And just doing that brought me relief. So it really is helpful to understand anxiety and to really get to a point where you can get your brain to believe that it does cause very physical symptoms, as I'm sure you understand if you're listening to this. So one day, I found this story because, yes, at the time I was doing what I tell you guys not to do. And this is why I try to provide the information that I do and everything that I've learned, so that you can kind of find it in one safe space versus, you know, instead of going onto Google and I can't think of the word, but like sifting through a whole bunch of different things, and seeing lots of scary things along the way until you find that one good thing. But now the scary things are kind of stuck there and we don't forget them, right? So what I was trying to do at the time was I was trying to read online forums where people were sharing their experiences versus just Googling. It felt really good for me to read other people's experiences with it as well. But even that was a gamble because you just didn't know. And sometimes people who didn't have it would come in there and be like, that sounds very serious and I've looked this up and it doesn't look good and you should go to a doctor. So it was always a gamble. But I was so desperate at the time. I was so desperate for just anything to help me. So I was always on there. So there was one time, now I'm going off topic a little bit, I'll just quickly include this. When I was withdrawing off of my anxiety medication, because I ended up going on meds for about a year, in my 20s, and I think I have a separate episode on this, but I do share my story in my books. But when I was withdrawing off my meds, I had severe withdrawal symptoms that no one had warned me about, no one. And this is when I experienced severe harm OCD. Now, I realized that I had experienced this before, but this was the worst I had ever experienced it. And it caused major depression in me because I honestly thought that I was losing my mind. I'd get absolutely horrifying intrusive thoughts that made me think that I honestly believed that I was crazy. I remember one day being in the kitchen and looking at the knife in the kitchen, and this intrusive thought came into my head and said, like, what if you pick that knife up and stab your girlfriend, like my girlfriend at the time? And I remember just this thought just came out of nowhere, and I felt, again, like, you know that feeling, we get that horrifying feeling, like my stomach drops, I felt like I was going to throw up. I was like, why the F did I just think that? I was like, am I a psychopath? Does this mean that I could act on it? Like, it was absolutely awful. And so this is harm OCD. It causes us to have these really awful intrusive thoughts about things where we have this fear. Well, our brain tells us that we may hurt ourselves or other people. And I honestly thought, like, I had obviously no intention and no desire to hurt myself or anybody. But the fact that this thought popped in my head made me absolutely paranoid. I didn't want to be in the kitchen. I didn't want to be around sharp objects. I didn't want to be around anything that could be considered a weapon. And I didn't tell anybody because I was like, if I tell someone, they're going to tell me that I'm absolutely crazy. If I go to the doctor, what if they want to lock me up because they've realized that I'm a psychopath? And somebody actually asked me this recently. They were like, how do I know that I'm not a bad person? And I said, just the fact that you're worrying that you're a bad person proves that you're not a psychopath. If you really were a psychopath, you wouldn't care. Like, you wouldn't feel that fear or that worry about doing something bad. Like, you wouldn't have that. So, I mean, I hope that kind of helps if this is something you have experienced or are experiencing. So my point is that one day I was on the computer and I was so desperate at this point with these intrusive thoughts that I typed something in, like I don't remember what I typed in, like intrusive thoughts about hurting someone but don't want to, like something like that, like some long thing. And these forums popped up where people were talking about it, and I saw the term harm OCD. And there were a lot of new moms in the group who had these absolutely terrible thoughts about harming their babies, and obviously they didn't want to and it made them feel sick, but they just had these intrusive thoughts. And that's when I learned about harm OCD. And just reading people's experiences and knowing that there was a name and knowing that this was an actual thing and that I wasn't a bad person, it was an actual condition, it brought me so much relief. I was still scared and I still like worried over it, but what a relief to understand something, to know that other people feel like this and other people also sit there and worry that they're a bad person. Obviously you don't want anyone to go through it, but just knowing that you're not alone, it was just like an instant relief for me. And this was on one of these random online forums that I found. So with the muscle twitching, I remember one day, I don't know, I was just searching twitching or constant twitching or whatever. I was doing this very often, but I was never finding anything that was helping me. And one day I came across a story of this guy, and he had experienced muscle twitching and he had immediately gone, unlike me, to the doctor, and he had been to numerous neurologists and had all these tests done and they had all come back as fine. And so there were two things that he mentioned that I've never forgotten, and I do talk about them in the blog as well. So please keep in mind, and I always have to say this as a disclaimer, that I'm not a doctor. So if there's anything that you're worried about, and I'm not trying to freak you out by saying this because I know that this can be a trigger for someone to say, oh, just go see a doctor, but I do have to mention it. Like, everything that I'm talking about is always in relation to anxiety only. I'm not trying to diagnose you. What I'm going to share with you now is not me trying to be a doctor in place of Dr. Google to diagnose you. It's just what I learned and what brought me a lot of relief and made sense. And I'm sharing it in the hopes that it will bring you some comfort as well. The first thing that this guy mentioned was that he was told by a neurologist that when you have ALS, your muscle is dying, right? And the twitching that's happening is twitching that is so, like, the muscle is so weak that the twitches are very, very mild. And oftentimes people don't even notice the twitching. So when you go Google stuff, it will say the muscle's twitching, but they're not telling you, not, it's not usually visible twitching. It's usually twitching kind of behind the scenes, so to speak. So that was something that really stuck out to me. Stood out to me because, did I just say stuck out to me? That was something that stood out to me because my muscle twitching was very obvious, and I know that yours is too if you're listening to this, because we're aware of it. You're listening to this because you have muscle twitching and you, it's very noticeable. So that was something that stood out to me when he said that. And then another thing that he said was that he mentioned something called benign fasciculation syndrome, which sounds terrifying, but honestly, learning about this brought me so much relief. So what this is it's a condition that is, it's not dangerous, so it's harmless, but it causes widespread muscle twitching. So it causes muscle twitching throughout your entire body, and there's certain factors that contribute. And what is one of the main contributing factors? I'll give you a minute. Anxiety and stress. And then other factors may include high intensity exercise. So if you're overworking a muscle, it can become very tight. And then when a muscle is very tight, it can actually start to twitch. It's like with facial twitching. We often hold a lot of tension in, like, around our eyes or just anywhere in our face, but especially in our foreheads, our temples, and around our eyes. And then you may notice that you get a lot of eye twitching and things like that. So, what do I mean, things like that? You get a lot of eye twitching, and that's usually from holding the muscle so tight. So that makes sense as well. So what I always tell people is when you're experiencing a symptom, get really curious, ask questions, and look at the pattern. Find the pattern. Have I done anything different recently? Because there were times that I dealt with a lot of stomach twitching and then realized that I had been holding tension constantly in my gut. And I was like, huh, I didn't even realize I was holding tension there. Now that I'm aware of it, I can feel myself releasing it. Maybe that was contributing. And then some other factors, especially for facial twitching, include too much caffeine or alcohol and lack of sleep. So, just by knowing what can contribute to muscle twitching, we then understand, okay, so we know what's contributing. For example, one of them, too much caffeine and alcohol. Can I cut back on caffeine and then see? And then if it doesn't get better, can I try and cut it out for a little bit and see if that makes a difference? Can I cut back on alcohol? Can I drink more water? Another one is from tight muscles. Can I really be consciously aware of relaxing my muscles through my day? Do I think that I can get more sleep? And I know that this is a tricky one if you have anxiety, because I mean, sleep has always been a tough one for me, but how can I get better sleep? Like, really break it down and ask yourself questions. Get curious. This is a really big thing when it comes to anxiety. Instead of just letting your mind run wild, take your power back and ask questions. When you go to therapy, they will sit there and they will ask you question after question after question to help you break down whatever it is that you're feeling. So when you're dealing with all of these symptoms and you don't know what to do, sit with yourself and get really logical and ask yourself questions. What's changed in my life recently? Okay, just like I said, can I relax my muscles? Can I cut back on alcohol and caffeine? How can I get a better night of sleep? And this, my dear friends, is where magnesium comes in. Magnesium is my favorite supplement. I still take it today. And I always get questions about this, so I will say it again in here. I take 400 to 600 milligrams a day. Lately, I've been taking 200 in the morning, and then I always take 400 at night before bed. Most of us are deficient in magnesium, and people will sometimes say to me, well, can't I get it in through my food? But you would have to eat a lot of a specific food, like foods that contain magnesium, dark chocolate, spinach, etc. But you would have to eat a lot of a food to get in the dosages that I'm talking about, like to get in 600 milligrams, because magnesium is so incredibly helpful for so many things. I'm going to include my blog post again to magnesium in this caption, so please go check it out if you have not checked it out yet, because I'm not going to go into all of it now, but I will say that it is amazing for helping to relax your muscles, which then helps with the muscle twitching. Oftentimes when you add magnesium into your diet, that alone can help with muscle twitching. So it really is amazing. And then of course it helps you sleep better. And we know now that lack of sleep is one of the contributing factors. I also recommend a magnesium gel, like so you can apply it topically. You can just go on Amazon or go to a health store and just search like a good brand for a topical magnesium gel, or a cream or a lotion. A lot of people have let me know that they did this and they use it at night and it's so relaxing and part of their nighttime ritual, and it makes me so happy, especially if you're scared of supplements. So magnesium, when you apply topically, is actually absorbed into your body. So, and also for twitching, I find that if you have a really intense twitch or really, really tight, painful muscle that may be contributing to twitches, sometimes when we apply the gel topically, it can provide a lot faster relief than the supplements. I personally like to do both, but a topical option is a must if you have muscle twitching along with your supplements. Allergy fears are very, very real, and I completely understand them. Magnesium is considered completely safe, though. Again, check with your doctor if you're on anything else and you just want to make sure there's no interactions. But it has so many benefits. Like, just go read that article and you'll understand why I love it so much. It makes me feel so good. It helps to relax me. I've been taking magnesium along with ashwagandha, which is an adaptogen. And honestly, like, it makes such a difference for me. So please look into magnesium. It's something that I tell everybody about, especially if you're struggling to sleep, you're anxious and dealing with symptoms every single day, and specifically muscle twitching, but also heart palpitations. It can actually help with heart palpitations too. So I'm probably gonna end this off here. I really just wanted to really provide validation and let you know that muscle twitching is very common with anxiety, and just share with you why it may be happening and just share a few ways that you can manage it. I will include the link to my blog post as well. So check out the blog about it and check out that magnesium article. But again, muscle twitching is extremely common. Some questions that I usually get is, can I experience muscle twitching every day? The answer is yes. If you're anxious every day, if you're having tight muscles every day, and one thing I do want to mention here is, if you struggle with GAD, you can experience tight muscles and muscle twitching all the time, but you don't necessarily have to feel anxious. And that was really confusing for me, because when I was dealing with GAD, I would have days where I didn't feel that overwhelming sense of anxiety, you know, like kind of the mental side of it, but my body would still be reacting physically. And that would really scare me, and my brain would say, oh, well, you must be sick then. So just keep in mind that with GAD, you may not necessarily be feeling anxious, but it is completely normal to still be experiencing symptoms. And with GAD, trust me when I tell you that you experience symptoms 24/7. I had a twitch in my 20s in my wrist that lasted, and I'm not exaggerating, I had this damn twitch for like 3 months straight. I still remember there was a show on TV that I was watching. I don't remember. It was like, how do I even describe this show? It was like this reality show, but they were acting out like a fantasy thing. And I know that I'm making absolutely no sense right now. I do not remember. Next time I talk to you, if you listen to my next episode, I'll try to tell you if I found it. But it was like this game show kind of thing, this reality show. And I remember I was really into it, and every week when I would watch it, my muscle would still be twitching, but I was so annoyed because I was like, I really enjoy the show and I want to see what happens, but my brain would be so fixated on my wrist And I still remember I would literally use my other hand and press down on my wrist with my thumb, like actually trying to stop the twitch. And I would still feel it softly. I would still feel it kind of vibrating through my thumb. And then when I would take my hand away, the twitch would be full force again. And I remember this really scared me because it was constant. It was constant. And my depression was awful at the time because I did not understand how this could be a constant thing. And I remember I would wake up in the morning and I didn't want to get out of bed. And I would try to sit on my hand all the time. Like when I was sitting, I would try to sit on my hand so that I could ignore it or not feel it. It was terrible. So please know that muscle twitching can last constantly, every single day, all the time. Another question that I usually get is like the locations of the muscle twitching. Like, can I really get a twitch here? Can I really get a twitch there? Can you really get a twitch anywhere? You can get twitching anywhere that you have a muscle. Like literally anywhere. Your people's tongues have twitched. I've had weird sensations in my tongue before. You can twitch anywhere. Your butt can twitch. I've had what's felt like twitching on my scalp, which is really, really unsettling. People have told me they've had twitching that feels like it's inside their head. I remember I had this neck twitch that would happen every single day. I've had twitching in my chest, and every time a really intense twitch would come, my instinct was to immediately kind of press on it and massage and pray that it would go away. And then I would pull my hand away and it would go crazy twitching, and then I would start panicking, especially eye twitching. I went through a period where I was paranoid about eye twitching, and I would hold my eye down and like I didn't want to see it. And I would look in the mirror and I would see it jumping, and it was bad. But please know that you can get a twitch anywhere, okay? And that they can last constantly and they can be really, really intense. It's also common to get muscle spasms, or like where your muscle just kind of, you're sitting and then like your arm just shoots out, or your leg, or you know when you're falling asleep and you're on the verge of falling asleep and then it feels like you're falling. And your whole body just jerks awake. Those are called hypnic jerks. And I went through a period where I had that every single night and I was scared to fall asleep. Again, it's really a terrifying feeling when it feels like we don't have control over our body. And I remember it was happening so frequently and it was such an obvious jolting sensation that I was like, how can I ignore this? I need to know what this is. So, of course, I Googled. And fortunately for me this time, it wasn't bad. I ended up learning about hypnic jerks and how common they are. And again, what are they linked to? Anxiety, and what you do before bed matters and all of that. I do share my morning and bedtime rituals in my A to Z encyclopedia. And I do believe I have a podcast episode on my morning ritual. But with hypnic jerks, what you do leading up to bed is really important. But for me, this happened every single night. And I remember I was afraid to fall asleep because it's such a horrible feeling. So any kind of muscle thing is very common with anxiety, whether it's a spasm or like jerking or pain is very common as well, because we tend to hold, when we're stressed and anxious, our body, it tenses up, right? Like we hold a lot of tension in our entire body or in different parts of our body. Like for example, your chest muscles may, and your back muscles may tighten up a lot, and then you may experience a lot of chest pain and you can experience twitching there. So what happens during fight or flight is our muscles tighten up to protect our internal organs. Like when we're in a real life dangerous situation, fight or flight causes all these things to happen in our body to try to protect us. So if you're dealing with anxiety and are kind of permanently on the verge of fight or flight all the time, your body is going to be responding the same way it would as if you were in serious danger. But I mean, if you're in serious danger, you're not noticing, you're just focusing on staying alive. But if you're not in danger, your brain is suddenly going to fixate on every single sensation, and it's going to feel more intense than ever, and it's going to feel strange and terrifying. So really be aware of releasing tight muscles through your day. Remember these things that seem, and I feel like I said this in the last episode, or I feel like I always say this, but the things that seem insignificant are not. They make so much difference if they are done consistently. Sometimes I will tell somebody something and I can tell that they don't think it's a big thing. They're like, okay, I'll try that, but how can I get rid of this and this and this now? And I really have to stress to you that these little things that I'm sharing, if they are done consistently, they truly do make a world of difference. If you are consistently releasing and firstly aware of your tight muscles through the day so that you're able to release them, if you are doing this consistently throughout your day, every single day, you're going to have less pain. You're going to have less twitching. Suddenly, you're not going to be living in this world of fear about your twitching because you've been doing this thing consistently to help with it, if that makes sense. I mean, it's even common to hold tension in our neck, and that can cause a feeling of like suffocation, like you're choking. Combine that with globus sensation, which is that sensation of something genuinely being stuck in your throat, and it's not a good time. It's not a good time because we don't stop to think, okay, I'm tensing up my muscles. Our brain immediately jumps to what, you know, the worst case. I'm having an allergic reaction. I can't breathe. And then fear just feeds the cycle. You know how it goes. So really, really get in touch with your body. Like, pay attention. I know it's scary with health anxiety. We distract ourselves all the time. Like, we don't want to pay attention to our body. We just want to ignore it. But when we're not paying attention, we can't be aware of what we're doing that may be contributing. So really pay attention to where you're holding tension. Release it. Like, as I'm talking to you, I'm releasing my stomach muscles because that is always, this is a place where I always hold tension. So relax your stomach muscles completely. Relax your shoulders, relax your jaw. Take in some deep breaths. If deep breathing feels hard, breathing in and out through your nose can be helpful unless you're congested. But then you could try straw breathing through your mouth, which is where you breathe in as if you're breathing through a straw and then breathe out through slowly through pursed lips. I do that sometimes, especially when I'm doing yoga. I find that really helpful. So just be aware, pay attention, get really curious and ask questions. And it's going to be scary initially, especially if you've been really just trying to distract yourself constantly or run away from yourself. But realistically, we can't get away from ourselves. Sometimes we wish we could just, you know, kind of like step out of our bodies for a little while and just feel at peace and then come back, if you know what, like, you understand. Like, sometimes it's really hard. Like, we just want to relax for a little bit, but there's all these things going on, and it's hard to relax when there's very physical symptoms going on. But pay attention and see what you can do. Like, relaxing your muscles is a really, really big place to start. My goal with these podcast episodes is that by the end, if this is a symptom that you've been experiencing, you're able to just feel like I felt when I came across that guy's story. Like, you're able to just feel some sense of relief, like, oh, that really helped me. Like, I needed to hear that because I've been stuck in this state of worry. So I really hope that if you're going through it, that this has brought you some comfort and that it's brought you some relief and it's made you feel hopeful and inspired for the future, because you really can overcome this. Anxiety is not something to be cured. It's something to get under control, because anxiety is not an emotion we're trying to get rid of. It's an emotion we need. It's there to protect us, right? The problem is when it's confused and our brain doesn't know what's real and what's not. So we find ways to manage it, but we're not trying to get rid of it. And I think a big challenge is getting to a point where we can accept our anxiety and be friends with it and be like, I know you're here to protect me and I appreciate that, but right now in this moment I'm safe. Because as long as we're angry at it, it sticks around and it's not going to get better. So be gentle with yourself, and I think I'm just going to end this here. I feel a ramble coming on, and we're not going to do it. I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. I appreciate this community. I appreciate all of your support. You guys being part of this community and supporting me allows me to be here and do what I love every single day. And I want you to know that that means the world to me, and that I care about all of you, and that I just want to know that you feel safe and that you feel seen and validated and understood. So if I'm able to do that for you, that's all I want. That's all I want. Sending you so much love. Hang in there, okay? I'll talk to you soon.